Turn to Matthew. I guess I'll have you turn there to Matthew 18. I'll catch you a little bit. The Lord willing, I want to try to finish the gaslighting series. This is number 6, gaslighting villain or victim, guilty or innocent. I have simplified it. As I've said before, there's no such thing as totally innocent or totally guilty, but I've tried to simplify it to explain and help us to understand and to keep me from going off on all kinds of rabbit trails. But the villain is the one that we're calling the narcissist, and that's what they are. We're dealing with how Jesus would deal with the narcissist. That term gaslighting came from the 1944 movie, and it has become a popular word or explanation of anybody trying to manipulate or control the thinking of someone else. And that's certainly true of nations now. But as far as the narcissist themselves, that individual, it's a personality disorder. The characteristics or examples of what you'd find would be excessive self-centeredness, a need for admiration, a lack of empathy, a need to manipulate, to use others, and never accepting the blame. That's a very brief description. We have looked at the definition, the danger, the damage, the difficulty, the deliverance. We're looking now, last time we looked at the deliverance for the villain. They need help, that person who has this issue, problem, this malfunction of their character and personality needs deliverance from the Lord. Anytime we're facing something that attacks God's will, that keeps us from doing His will, that causes Him to be displeased, we need deliverance. That bondage needs to be removed. That's the song, give you peace, give you deliverance. So we looked last time at the deliverance for the villain. I want to try my best to deal with this thought, and I'll try to finish. Because I got a lot more information, but I don't want to drag it on any further than I have. I would encourage you, there's no way in the world you can listen to this one lesson, message, whatever you want to call it, and get what I've tried to say. I would encourage you to get all the messages and listen to them. Take time to sit down or drive and listen to them one by one to where you can get the whole picture. I have said this before, I'll say it again. This is not just for the true narcissist, that person bound, or the victim that person is connected to. It is not those far extremes only I have put this message toward. It is all of us, because all of us deal with this battle of being selfish or wanting our way or getting upset when things don't happen the way we desire. The deliverance for the victim, the innocent. I have looked at the aim and the assurance and to accept and to appreciate, to ask, to avoid, to anticipate. I want to look tonight at this thought. We're getting down through the brass tacks now, or the rubber meets the road. I'll deal with this word, this thought, approach. Approach. The idea of realizing as a victim, somebody connected closely to a narcissist that has to deal with their difficult personality and their demands. I say it again, I've said it before, don't let anyone control how you think or act. Being influenced to good and godly is great. That's a part of Christianity. But allowing anybody who wants to control us to control us is detrimental and displeasing to God and harmful. Do not let anyone control how you think or act except God. We are to be controlled by God only. This truth is throughout Scripture that said in Galatians 6:5, For every man shall bear his own burden. I have mentioned that speaks of a small bag where people carried their items. Ladies do purses now. A lot of people have backpacks now. It would be like a wallet for a man or a purse for a lady. And the Lord says that each person has a responsibility to carry their own burden. It is their responsibility. It is no person's responsibility other than theirs, the one who owns that bag. And it would be like a man going to another man and say, could I carry your wallet for you? Not wanting money, but trying to share or carry the burden. No, it's his responsibility. And that truth is throughout Scripture. And so it is to the villain or the victim. I'm speaking tonight about the victim. Understand there are certain things that it is their responsibility to do, and it is not your responsibility to carry that load for them. Those things being said, we go to the word approach, and that takes me to the verse of our text tonight, Matthew 18, verse 15. Listen to what the Lord said. Moreover, as thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I want to say quickly, I am of the opinion, this is my viewpoint of this verse. I do not think the Lord tells us to go to anybody about anything that bugs us. Because if we did, we'd be going to people all the time. I believe this speaks about something that's serious enough not to just forget or to ignore or let go. The Bible talks about forbearing one another, which means just put up with it. And there's a whole lot of things going on in the family of God that we can just put up with, and it shouldn't burden us or weigh us down or stress us out. We should pray about it and go on. I don't think that's what this verse is talking about, because it says later to go eventually to the church and present it before the church. I think this is something very serious. I think it's a real trespass, a real problem, a significant injury or wound or wrong. So I use this verse. It deals with personal problems that get into the church and affect the church as a whole, and that's why Jesus says to deal with it. I will not carry it that far tonight. I want to deal with the fact of one person going to another person and talking it over. It deals with what they are doing. Victim, innocent person, those who are connected to a narcissist or a very difficult person to get along with, a very demanding person. This deals with what they are doing, their wrong behavior. Listen, I said it again. Excusing, absorbing, protecting a wrongdoer is wrong. We should not protect them to where they can continue their bad behavior. That is not love, and that is not loving. If you doubt that, take a look at how Jesus handled that kind of situation. We'll deal with that in just a minute. Allowing them to continue their unspiritual, I'll try and be kind, behavior and attitude just makes it easier for them to continue it. I'm talking tonight about approaching. I hope you understand. I'm talking about going to them and talking it over and talking it through. Having a good discussion. I almost used the word argument, but I didn't want it to be misunderstood. It may become that, but there is such a thing as a good discussion. And if you want to go that way, that far, a good argument. If things are helped, if things are gotten out, if things are discussed, it depends on how that argument, that discussion is handled by both parties. Some believe discussion should be avoided at all costs. And it should be something, when I'm talking about what I'm talking about tonight, it should be after much prayer and much effort to do it the easier way. But sometimes it comes to the point where it's time to just go and talk it out. We need to realize that little problems can become big problems if we let them. And if it's something you can, again, it's just something you can ignore and just say, well, that's just the way they are. It doesn't really bother me that much. It's okay to accept that and go on. But if their bad behavior weighs you down, if it stresses you greatly, it probably is something that needs to be addressed. So I'm talking tonight about approach. The first thing I want to mention is the thought of preparing. Don't just walk in and say, we gonna talk. You got a problem right off. Prepare. And guess where preparing starts? With you. Prepare yourself, your attitude. Make sure you're going with a spiritual attitude, with a spiritual desire. It is not you getting them back or getting revenge or making things even. If that's your attitude, probably things are going to get worse and probably God will not bless the conversation. Prepare yourself. Ask God to touch you. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. Tell the truth, but do it in love. Again, not revenge, not an attack, but gently and kindly. Your desire is not to straighten them out if you have the right desire. Your attitude is to help them to get things right with the Lord, that they might bring honor to Him. And as a result, help your life to be better. Prepare. Also, I thought about the word plan. Plan ahead about this conversation. Don't just think, well, the Lord's going to give me what you'd say. I've tried that with preaching before. And if we are, as a preacher, I have walked into churches during revival, and the preacher that was supposed to preach the revival didn't show up, and the pastor said, Rick's preaching tonight. Well, thank the Lord, God help me. But usually the Lord would want me to pray and plan ahead and prepare and study and be ready. And that's what I'm saying about this conversation. Prepare yourself, plan ahead, ask God before you ever go to help you with your attitude, with your heart, with your desire, but ask Him to help you with what to say and what not to say. Decide what to say and how to say it. Plan ahead. Try to think about what they will say in response to what you plan on saying. Did you get that? If you know them, you probably will know what they're going to say. Plan ahead. Work the conversation through your mind the best you can. You don't know what's going to happen, but probably if you know them, you have an idea about what to expect, at least to some degree. If you know them, if you're going to say one thing, you probably know what they will say. Plan ahead and be ready to respond to what you think they might say, to where you won't get upset, it won't get out of control, but you can keep it confined and within reason. Plan ahead. I will ask you to not ask them certain questions. In other words, don't call them a narcissist. Try and stay away, especially anybody who's heard these messages. Probably don't need to hear that word specifically. Try and stay away from the labels. Stay with what they have done and the way they have acted and their attitude about what they've done. And those things being said, let me read the verse again. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Shall trespass against thee. This deals with what they are doing or what they have done. In other words, you must make sure before you go to them that they are truly guilty, that they really have done what you are accusing them of. Could I remind you just a little bit? A narcissist is somebody who is not just having an occasional bad day. It is someone who has a consistent, unspiritual attitude. It is not that you're exaggerating or you're too critical. Better make sure it's not you, it is them. I'm talking about trespassing against thee, what they are doing. This is the kind of person who's insecure, must have attention, expects you to make them happy, makes you feel guilty when you don't make them happy. They will never admit their flaws. It's somebody else's fault all the time. They accuse you of doing what they are doing and get mad because you did what they think you did. They cause the problem. They expect you to apologize for things you did not do. I've said again, they want their way all the time, no matter what the cost or who it hurts. They can't handle rejection. They need to control you. They think they're right all the time. They think they're right to be angry. They believe you're wrong and they're right all the time. They will use their anger to control you. They really think that you are not equal with them. They're better than you. Nothing's good enough for them. They do not see themselves. They think themselves to be caring and spiritual. That's the kind of person I'm talking about we're to address. So the word from the Lord said, if a brother trespass against thee, that deals with what they are doing. Make sure you're talking to somebody that these things are true of, what they are doing, and then what are you to do about it? He said, go and tell. Go to them and talk to them. It comes to the point, finally, did you hear that word, finally? To where we decide, we determine, by the Lord's help and direction, it is time to talk to them. It is time to confront them. This is only after much prayer. It's only after much patience. You have tried your best to do what you need to do and be the right Christian that you should be, the right partner, the right friend, the right employee, however you're connected to this narcissist. You have truly tried to be patient and understanding and kind, but it has not worked, and you have prayed and you feel like it is finally time to confront them. That is difficult. That is not easy. It will not be something you look forward to. But it, in this particular case that I'm talking to about now, it's the right thing to do. Now, having said that it's the right thing to do, don't be surprised if it blows up. Isn't this encouraging? Don't be shocked. I want you to hear my whole sentence before you come to a conclusion. Don't be shocked if it makes matters worse for a time, because they ain't going to want to hear it. Do you like it when somebody tells you that you've done wrong? Well, immediately, no matter who, buck up. Resist. This kind of person, resist. It's a big difference. But they need to be confronted. Speak the truth in love. There comes a time. Jesus said, go to them and tell them their fault. There comes a time to talk it over. Again, it will not be easy, but I've said this before. I said again, there is no easy way with this kind of situation. There is no quick way. There is no easy way. And it comes down sometimes that it needs to be discussed. Remember, it may blow up. It may make matters worse, at least for a time. It may even cost your relationship. You may lose a friend. But listen, if it comes to this point, this serious, that may be what you need. Now, I'm talking about friends in this point, or maybe your boss won't be as nice to you if they're the one you have to be confronted, or the employee, or whatever. Husband and wife, it's a different message. I'm not going to take time to deal with that right now, but even if it's husband and wife confrontation, approach still needs to be done on this type of occasion. It may go bad to begin with, but I use a but with three capital letters. It may go good. If you have prayed, if you've searched your heart, if you've planned ahead, if you handle the conversation rightly and spiritually and in love, who knows what God may do? He may just open their eyes. I'm telling you, if that happens, it'll be a miracle. But did you need to be reminded God works miracles? He does the impossible. He may just open their eyes and change them. Here's what the Bible said. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken is something beautiful. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? So God can use a godly conversation of a godly person trying to do something godly. The time comes to confront. You have carried the load too long, a load that God never intended you to carry to begin with. You have prayed. You have waited on God. You have honestly trusted Him, and nothing has improved. And it comes to the point where Joshua came to, where God said to Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel have sinned. Joshua was praying about the sin of Israel, Achan. He didn't know it at that time, but something was wrong. Joshua was praying, and God said, get up, you've prayed long enough, deal with the sin. And your relationship with that narcissist may come to that point where you have to do like Jesus said, go and talk to them. Time comes to confront, and if it is, that's the right thing to do. Listen, love doesn't ignore sin. Look at Jesus. He addressed the money changers and almost, I could use the word violence, overturned money changers, ran them out with a whip because they were sinning. He spoke to the woman at the well and he said, call your husband. He was dealing with her sin. And when she said, I don't have a husband, he didn't let it go of that. He said, yeah, you've had five, and the one you're living with now, not your husband, he's dealing with sin. He said to the Pharisees, woe unto you, many times. So Jesus confronted sin. Coddling sin and pampering them will not help. It will just make it easy for them to stay in their sin and never change. Doing nothing enables them to continue. We're trying to appease them and it only makes it worse. Notice what the verse says again. Look at verse 13, 15. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Tell him his fault. His fault. That's why I said plan ahead, prepare ahead. Have in your mind what you're going to say, the very specific things they are doing, very specific things. You are talking about their attitude and their actions. It may be good to start with this. And husbands hate to hear this. We need to talk. That's one of the worst words that a husband can hear. Because women are kind usually that want to talk, and men are saying, be quiet, I'm watching the ball game. But there comes a time when it probably is good to say we need to talk. And listen, I'm talking about their fault. Now, when you're dealing with their fault, unless you're more spiritual than the average, there's going to be, because listen, by this time you've gone through a lot and it's been building up and it's hurt you and it's angered you and it's not gotten any better. And there is the tendency, the natural human tendency to strike out, but don't do it that way. Deal with their fault, but do it in a positive sense. Ask God to help you to have a spiritual attitude, a positive, loving, gentle attitude, speaking the truth in love to speak his fault, their fault. I would encourage you to commend their good qualities. Let them know that you're not just attacking everything about them, that you don't despise them, that you'd only see negative. Let them know, I love you, I care about you. And this certainly depends on if it's a friend or a family or whoever. Apply this as it needs to be, but let them know you're not coming just in hatred or anger, but you're trying to help them. But there is a fault, there is a problem that needs to be dealt with. Be honest with them and tell them their fault. Tell them what they have done. Tell them what they are doing with compassion and care, that you're really trying to help them. You're not just Judy mad at the one that's standing before her barking out their sentence. You're a loving, caring friend or spouse or whatever, and you want to help them. You're dealing with their fault, their specific problem. Jesus said, if they've done something wrong, go and tell them their fault. Tell them what they did. Deal with specific problems. Explain exactly the details. Stay on the subject. Don't be diverted. They will divert you if you let them. They will say, yeah, but what about what you did? Well, say, let's discuss that later, but right now let's stay on the subject. That's what we have to do with witnessing, by the way. Stay on the subject. Speak to them. Tell them what's on your heart and stop and listen and let them talk. Now, they'll probably excuse themselves. They'll probably resist what you're saying. They may say you're wrong. I don't know what to expect from them, but you'll have to deal with that as it comes. But listen, I will say this. If they tell you something wrong about you, just go ahead and admit it. Don't resist what they're saying about your faults when you're trying to get them to respond to you telling them about their faults. So if they tell you there's something that you've done, just admit it. And then I'll end with this. And I'm telling you, I have so much more, but I'm trying to lay down the basics. Then he said, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And it says in Luke 17:3, Jesus said, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Did you hear what it said in both of those verses? Receive, forgive, put it behind you. There is a possibility, there perhaps is a good possibility that if you've done it rightly and you've prayed ahead, and I mean really prayed, that God will touch their heart. And at least some working it out, some move in the right direction. And if they say, you know, you're right, I'm sorry, accept it. You may wonder, do they really mean it? They may have, and probably if it's a true narcissist, probably hadn't happened, but they may have told you they were sorry before and didn't change a bit. You can't hang on to that. You must do what that verse says and receive, forgive. You've gained your brother. Now it's your part, your responsibility to forgive. If they don't change, that's up to them. If they don't keep their promise, that's up to them. Your part is to forgive. You see, the whole thing has been, if you're in the right attitude, to restore them, to help them, I'll use the words kindly as I can, to get them right about this issue, their problem, to help them to see their need. And you are praying and hoping and wanting them to get things right. And when they get right, you ought to be glad. Very easy to say, wait a minute. After all you've sent me through, now you just say, I'm sorry, and I'm supposed to forgive you? Yep, that's right. That's called forgiveness. Isn't that what Jesus did? We are to forgive. We are to accept. Because, again, we're trying to promote spirituality. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke unto love and to good works. And then I'll say after the conversation, pray. Pray for God to continue the work that He began. I close with a few thoughts and I'm done. In Psalm 37, I'll read a few verses. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Those verses say so much. Don't fret because of what others are doing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do the right thing. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't look to them to give you peace or happiness. If you are a villain, my closing thoughts, if you are a narcissist, if you are the kind that wants your way too much, if you are the kind that's selfish, understand that you are in bondage. Understand that that bondage is hurting others. That kind of bondage will scar our children, wound our spouses, and alienate from our friends, but especially it will anger our good God. You are in bondage, spiritual bondage, and God wants to deliver you. I say to the narcissist who may hear this, admit it, plead guilty. Say for once in your life, it's my fault and not theirs. I need to change, and I need to change now, and I need God to help me do it. That's if you're a villain, the guilty. If you're a victim, the innocent, I recommend to you, start looking at yourself. Make sure you pray about your own self. Pray earnestly and ask God to help you and try to trust Him for dealing with a narcissist in your life. Lovingly take a stand. Say in your heart, there's some things I cannot do, I will not do. There's some boundaries. Even though I love them, and even though they pressure me, and even though they will make my life miserable, there's some things I will not do because I am a believer. If they change, when they change, forgive them. It will not be easy to put the past behind, but that's God's way. If they don't change, keep serving God yourself. God is your source. What does the verse say? Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in Him. The verse I've read many times through this series, I end with. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Oh God, I pray it often. Lord, show me me, show me me. If I don't see me as I am, I'll not get help. I'll not get better. I'll keep doing bad stuff, dumb stuff, wrong stuff, unspiritual stuff. Show me. So many times I'm blinded to me. Show me me. That'll be our prayer we start with tonight. Father, thank you. Oh, Lord, help us.